Thanks for joining us today at City Life. We believe today's message will empower you and point you towards Jesus. But remember that church is so much more than a message you listen to. It's a living, breathing community that we invite you to be a part of. We hope to see you on a Sunday morning at City Life, in person or online.
Today is our Sphere Sunday, and if you have not been here for a Sphere Sunday yet, well, we do them every few weeks. And it's really a Sunday where we focus on how do we do our everyday life, our everyday spheres of influence, work, school, activities, maybe things you're involved in a voluntary capacity. How do we actually do these spheres on purpose, with purpose, so that we can live lives of purpose? And so this is, you know, it's really a Sunday where we really look at how can we recalibrate our perspective? Because, you know, it's really easy to just get caught up in the vortex of our world. You know, we can just kind of go through the routine of, how many of you do this? It's like, have you ever gotten up in the morning and you find you're on the way to work and you're like, what did I just do for the last hour? You know, it's kind of like you just get into a role and you're just, sometimes that happens, your drive is just like, wow, I don't remember the last 5 minutes of what I was doing on the road. But you know, we can easily get caught in these routines where we're just like, we go through the motions and we show up. And we show up and we work hard and then we go home, or we show up to school and we kind of do our thing and we can't wait till the bell rings and we're done, or we show up to practice and we kind of go through a thing, and we can go through a lot of life not intentionally. Anybody else relate to this? Or am I the only weirdo in the room? It's so easy, even a job like this. You can show up and you can just kind of do the thing. You can do your routine. And so we need these days, these Sundays, where really the message is to help us recalibrate our perspective and our attitude about how to live on purpose in our spheres of influence. And you might have, and it was like, well, what is my sphere? What does that mean? Well, it's really the place where you spend a lot of your time. It might be school at this season of life. It might be your job. It might be home right now. You might be home with little humans. It might be a season of your life where you're retired. It might be, you might also, you're like, well, yeah, I've got that sphere, but I'm also really passionate about the arts. And you spend every waking hour practicing for a show or singing, or you're really passionate about sports and you're on three teams you're playing on. Or you're really passionate about justice and you're working to bring awareness to issues that are not working in our world. And so we all have a sphere of influence, and you are there by design and not by accident. That's what's so amazing. Now, some of you, if you're, you know, in school and you're thinking, oh, I have to go to school, you're still there by design. And sometimes school is more than just about the grades. And so we want to figure out how might we be able to reimagine these spheres as places that where we can actually see God's, the reality of God reflected in these spheres, God's goodness. God is a good God, even though there's a lot of good, even though there's a lot in our world that's not good. God is still good. And this, I wish I had the time to get into that. Well, why, if God is so good, then why? It's like, that is for a whole nother series. But there's something about these places where how can we reimagine school? How can we reimagine your workplace? How can you reimagine the job site? How can you reimagine your salon? How can you reimagine wherever you are as an arena that God's goodness and God's grace and God's beauty and God's wisdom might be reflected in there? Because that is what it means to be human. There's a lot of other worldviews out there that are trying to tell us, well, this is what it is to be human, and this is what it is to be human. And, you know, to be honest, when you start investigating these or when you live them out, they're really kind of empty and like, depressing. But the Christian worldview that tells us who we are and we've got this purpose, it's not to be robots, and it's not to serve some weird, angry God that we can't see and to do his bidding. It's actually a God who loved us so much that from beginning to end, he created this amazing world. He didn't have to. God was complete in himself. God did not have to create. Some people say, well, no, he had to make us because he loved us. I used to actually say that and think that. But it's not true. God was complete in himself. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. God had no need to make us, but he did. And he made a beautiful world. And even though humans, we chose everything but him, and we broke the world. God from day one was on a mission to make everything else back to the way it was and even better. God has always been on a mission, and that is the story of the Bible. Man, if you have a hard time with the Bible because you're like, man, there's a lot of killing in there, and God looks mad, and God looks angry, and God looks this, and you're just like, I don't understand a lot of that stuff. Today, hopefully, some of it will make a little bit more sense. But you need to know that God is not this angry God chasing you down, wanting to give you his, you know, whatever, right hand of fellowship or whatever that is. God loves you, and God has been on this mission to rescue and restore what we have broken. And he did that in himself, in Jesus Christ. And then he invites us to become a part of that mission. And so we are learning, how do you find joy and fulfillment in life? It's when you learn how to live in these spheres, reflecting the reality of God in those places. That's actually what brings deep joy into your heart. That's what brings fulfillment out of a job that's just like, ka-chunk, you know, all these punching levers all day, like whatever you're doing, pounding nails, I don't care, sweeping floors. It's what brings purpose. And so that's what we're about here today. I read this quote and I love it. Hell is not afraid of Sunday attendance. It's afraid of Sunday activation. Isn't that great? Hell is not afraid of you showing up here to church. Hell is afraid of Sunday activation. It's you leaving here and all that you do to reflect the reality of God at school, at work, in your business, when you're with your friends. That's what hell gets scared of. So, what is spheres? Spheres is us learning to scare the crap out of hell. So before we jump in, I want you to get the sphere of influence that you're in. Whether it's school, where do you spend most of the time? Or maybe something maybe it's like, I hate my sphere that I'm in most of the time. So I got this really passionate thing I'm really passionate about. Just get that sphere in your mind, okay? I got a quick survey. In that place, do you or have you ever felt alone? Forced to do a job you hate? Been betrayed by friends? Your boss is your enemy. You feel exhausted, no joy, no one helps, you're working alone. There's been a downturn in business or your approval rating on social media. You're barely making it. You're unappreciated. People you poured into leave you. Your plans are wrecked, you're mocked, you're rejected. You're crushed, you feel like a target most days, or ambushed, and plainly heartbroken. Now, if you can relate to any of those, just put up your hand. Yeah, hello. See, no matter how passionate we are for something, no matter how diligent, no matter how hardworking we are, no matter how faithful we are, no matter how intentional we are in living out God's purposes, in these places of influence, in our spheres of influence, there are times and seasons of disappointment and disillusionment. Sometimes outright devastation. I poured my life into this, and now I got shafted. I built this company, and I got booted. Even the best teachers don't reach every student. The most hardworking employees will be let go. The most generous boss will have good employees quit. The best health professionals will lose patients. The most gifted artists barely make ends meet. Star athletes suffer career-killing injuries. And parents can do everything right and still have a kid go off the rails. How can we build resilience and not take these things into our soul? Not take them on, not carry them in a way that they actually become toxic in our bodies, because they do. If you've been with us in this series, Recalibrate, the beginning of the month, we've been looking at how the body teaches the soul. And all of these things get into our body and they come out. We just say it's stress. And here's the thing, when you can feel stress, it's already too late in the damage that it's done already to your physical body without you knowing it. But by the time you feel stress, they say that is in what's level 3 stress. So it's already been working at 2 different levels to wreak havoc in your physical body and your health. So how do we build resilience and not take on this negative stuff in our soul and into our body? Well, the Bible actually has a solution for that. We learn what's called the practice of lament. Say that word, lament. Lament isn't it's not complaining just alone. It's not just like crying. And some of us have ideas lamenting, you know, we're lamenting. It's just like, woe is me, you know, we're just like, ah. Laments in scripture, they're prayers of pain and promise. Now the and is the key. Pain and promise. Pain and hope. You know, I know many, the early years of church, oh my Lord Jesus, thank you for your grace. Because there were many years of lamenting. You know, early years of starting church, almost 34 years ago. It was Mike and I and Cassie. Thank God for Cassie. She was 7 years old. I am not kidding. It was so funny. We'd show up and on a Sunday like this. I dreaded minus 20 Sundays because you knew nobody was going to show up. And now, you know, there was times, it was so hard. Like, you show up now and you're like, I like the vibe. I kind of want to say go vibe somewhere else. Because this house wasn't built on vibe. Like, vibe it somewhere else, please. Because we are not about vibe. And as soon as we are, we actually have some plans to kill the vibe. Just saying. So you might be shocked to show up some on Sunday and it might be very different. Just giving you a heads up. But there, this house, there's a family here today because a lot of sacrifice, a lot of love, and a lot of faithfulness, not from us, but there was a lot of lamenting, a lot of lamenting. There's been a lot of seasons in my life where I've lamented over family stuff. I lamented over my son. I love him. Caitlin, I love you so much. I've lamented over both my children in different ways, daughter. Lament! Can you say lament? See, when we encounter these pain moments, these pain places in our spheres, when we encounter the disappointment, when we encounter this disillusionment, we tend to lean in one of two directions as humans do. We lean in the pain-only direction where we become victims, or we just word vomit all day long. We just complain. We just spout our opinion. We just rehearse all of the negative things that are going wrong. And then what happens? Maybe we don't. Maybe we just keep our mouth shut and we stuff everything. And then it just comes out anyway. We're more sharp with people than what we want to be. Come on, how many of you ever done that? You realize you just said something and you saw that look cross your kid's face and you're just like, oh, I am the worst parent. We say things. We're more emotional than what we think we should, what we want to be. We're more critical. The negative stuff comes out towards the people we're closest to. So we lean to the pain-only side, or we're the opposite direction, the promise-only. Oh, happy thoughts. I'm just confessing it's going to be good. And, you know, we've all met those Christians where you just want to punch them in the face. It's just like, shut up. It's not going to be good all the time. Even though we sing it, God is good all the time, even though it ain't good all the time. God is good all the time. But we lean on the promise only, where it's like, think happy thoughts, think, you know, like, pause, I'm just going to confess it. And there is a place for that, but it only carries you so long. And then what happens? You bail. You stop liking the vibe at church and you're out the door. You stop liking the vibe in your marriage. You stop liking the vibe in your friend group. You stop liking the vibe at work. You stop liking the vibe on that sports team. Peace, man. Lament gives us a pattern for how to release the negative stuff in a way that will be life transforming. See, we wrongly think we can't say hard stuff to God. We can't complain to God. We can't get mad at it. Don't get angry at God. He'll smite you. So not it. God gave an entire book on how to lament. It's called Lamentations. And it's actually a powerful book. What's so wild is God gave this book to his people that were in really bad straits because they completely disobeyed. They completely walked away from God. They chose everything but God, who had saved them and rescued them, provided for them. And they're like, nope, we don't want you. We want this other idol over there. And so they ended up in this mess because of the consequences of their own choices. And God could have said, you need to sit there and think about your badness. But, you know, he gave them a lament. He gave them a whole book called How to Dialogue with, and he also gave the Psalms. Now, if you've ever been confused by the Psalms, it's because over almost half of them are laments. They're depressing. My God, why have you dumped me? Psalm 22. Oh, God, how long is it going to be? So God gave us a whole book, Lamentations, and a whole prayer book on how to dialogue with God when you're mad, hurt, and disappointed. And if you've never opened up the Psalms, when you get to a place you need to lament, just open it up and just start, you know, you could probably pick one and it might apply. And if you haven't, just keep picking. You will find one. Because everything, the list that I read you in the survey at the beginning, have you ever, all of that is straight out of the book of Lamentations. And more. I had to cut it down. Otherwise, we would have been really depressed. So here's the thing about laments. There's a specific structure to them. Every lament has these five things, and I want to give them to you because I want to help you learn how to write or dialogue or how to express your own lament to God. It's not enough to just complain. That doesn't do anything. But lamenting will change you, and it will change circumstances. So they start with an address. There's a very specific address. You need to know, how do you talk to God when you're mad? There is a way to do that. Usually it's God. You know, and that's actually important that we address God and not just like word vomit and just think somebody will hear. It's, no, God, I am coming to you. I'm not just spewing for the sake of getting it off my chest. That's not what a lament is. But God, I'm coming to you. And then the next part is a complaint. Okay, we get really real. God, I don't like this. I don't like this. This sucks. This sucks. This is so hard. And then after that, there is a trust or a prayer from help. But God, I'm going to trust you anyway. And then number four, there's a confession of confidence. I am confessing God is my only hope. God, I know you're going to come through. And it ends in praise. So we're going to look at one, Psalm 13, 1-5. Man, this is like a good generic one because it applies when things just aren't terrible. You might just want to, I gave a whole bunch in your notes. A whole bunch of laments, there's way more. Psalm 13, here's the address. How long, Lord? Lord, God, I'm talking to you, God. Some of you have never had an experience with God before, and a lament could just be the thing that will bring you into a place where you experience the presence of God like you never heard before, because he's just been an afterthought in your life. But the address is, how long, Lord? And then, oh, here comes a complaint. Will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? We read these two King James. We were like, oh, will you forget me forever, Lord? How long will, like, put the emotion into it. How long will you hide your face from me, God? How long will I store up anxious concerns within me, agony in my mind every day? How long will my enemy dominate me? And then here comes a prayer. Consider me, God, and answer me, Lord, my God. Restore brightness to my eyes. I don't know what that means, but do it. Otherwise, I will sleep in death. God, I'm going to die if you don't come through. My enemy's going to say, oh, I've triumphed over him, and my foes will rejoice because I am shaken. But here's a confession. But I have trusted in your faithful love, God. My heart, here's the praise, my heart will rejoice in your deliverance. That has not yet come. I will sing to the Lord because he has treated me generously. There is a lament. See, laments help us make peace with almost when it comes to our spheres, when it comes to work, when it comes to school. They help us make peace with almost. In other words, make peace with some change, some justice, some reforms in your industry, some changes at work, some restoration. And a lament provides breathing room for our soul. And it lifts the burden of feeling like we always need to find a solution or fix things, because some things are not fixable in this life. And if you are carrying hurt and disappointment and disillusionment because some unknowing Christian just said, oh, it's all going to work out and be wonderful, and it didn't, I am so sorry. I'm sure they meant well. But there are some things that don't get resolved on this side of eternity. And that's why we need a hope in Jesus. And that's why we follow Jesus. That's why we need to follow the one who's gone through death and out the other side into life. You cannot get to life eternal except through Jesus. And see, this making peace with almost, this isn't about doing shoddy work. But this is about giving your best, giving your all, pouring your heart out, and you still see only two out of five of your clients make it through recovery. Or you gave 110% on that project and you still came out with only a C. Or you coach a losing team to some wins and the kids love you, but the parents still complain. Lament reminds us we are to be signs and not saviors. We're to give a taste of what new creation is going to be like when Jesus returns and he makes all things new. He makes all wrongs right. Another thing, second thing, lament teaches us the world and our sphere of influence. It's worth lamenting over. It's worth crying over. You know, when we experience the stuff that we're angry about, the stuff you're sad about, the stuff you're frustrated with God about, these are natural responses to a world that's broken. They're natural responses, and they're natural responses to also seeing the world the way God sees it. God has seen what is so broken, and he weeps over it. We see that things are not shalom. Shalom means not just peace, but it means wholeness, completeness, satisfaction. It means joy and delight. The world is not in shalom, but it is in process. And see, lament protects our heart from the emotional toxicity the emotional toxicity that will get in if we don't process it, right? Man, 34 years of pastor, and I can tell you, unprocessed negative stuff in life has sent more people off the rails and not coming back. I mean, they could always come back, but some of those unfortunately didn't. But the emotional toxicity can develop when we don't process negative things in the right. We become cynical. In other words, we look at the world, oh, this will never work. Somebody starts talking about bringing change at work, bringing reform in the industry that you're in. It's just like, yeah, whatever. Pfft, tried that, been there, done it, doesn't work. Or we become apathetic. We're all about the issues. We just don't want to get involved with people. Or we minimize it. Well, life's not, it's not really that bad. You know, everything gets blown up on social media. I mean, you know. But see, when we give emotions, the negative emotions, when we process, when we give them a proper release, negative emotion will come out. It will. You can't just stuff it and think it away. It will come out. It'll come out in your physical body. It will come out as depression. It will come out as mental health issues. It will come out as dis-ease in your body. Why do we call it dis-ease? Well, because you're not at ease in your body, in your soul. It comes out as unhealthy habits to try to compensate when life sucks. For the pain, the disappointment. It also comes out, negative emotions come out by withdrawal and isolation. You feel like you want to pull away and you isolate. You've got stuff you're not lamenting about. Everyone say, I need to lament more. You need to look at the person beside you and say, you need to lament. I can see it on your face. See, lament, the greatest thing, lament fills us with hope. so that we can give hope to others. And as Jesus followers, this is absolutely of the utmost because we have hope. And every day you are in a sphere where you work with people, you go to school with people, you're playing sports with people who do not have hope. And we are meant to be the hope bringers to those that are way more hopeless than we are. I want to read Lamentations. This is the hope that comes from lament. Many people think the prophet Jeremiah wrote Lamentations. And listen, it starts out painful, but it gets better. Lamentations 3. He ground my teeth with gravel and made me cower in the dust. That's pretty painful. I have been deprived of peace. I have forgotten what prosperity is. Then I thought my future is lost, as well as my hope from the Lord. Here comes, he remembers. Remember my affliction and my homelessness, the wormwood and the poison. I continually remember them and have become depressed. Yet, everyone say yet. Yet. Yet I call this to mind, and therefore I have hope. Because of the Lord's faithful love, we do not perish, for his mercies never end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. I say, the Lord is my portion, therefore I will put my hope in him. The Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the person who seeks him. It is good to wait quietly for salvation from the Lord. It's good for a man to bear the yoke while he is young. See, lament allows us to see that God is on the throne and that his mercies are new every morning. Man, however many days you have been alive, that is the abundance of the miracle. You have seen a miracle every day of your life because that is a mercy of God that you have breath in your lungs, that you took another breath that day. So if you have nothing else to praise God for and to thank him for, you have, you know, maybe 20,000, probably more than that. Let's try 50,000 mercies, brand new, not a single one repeated, every single day. You are a walking miracle because of the steadfast love of the Lord that has never ceased. And his mercies that will never come to an end, no matter how far you run from him, no matter how much you ignore him, and no matter how much he wants nothing to do with you, his mercies will never come to an end. They are new every morning. God is faithful. Lament offers us the strength to endure and become people of resilience. Because see, in true lament, we discover the God of lament. The God who saw how broken, how messed up, how dark, how evil, how ugly the world was. And he came in flesh and blood. He was rejected. He was despised. He was falsely accused. Why? Because he took all of that, all of the stuff that would make us want to lament, and he took it into himself and he felt it. He lived it and he died with it. And he rose again to show us, death, you have no sting. You have no power. Oh, grave, where is your sting? You have none anymore. So you want to get back at somebody? You want revenge? You lament? And you stand your ground against an enemy that wants nothing more than to take you out, to become cold toward God, to reject the one who gave his life for you in deepest, deepest love for you. See, When we become people of resilience and endurance, we encounter this God. Jesus revealed a God who lamented. Jesus wept. And Jesus, he said, if you're wearied, worn out, heavied out, come to me, take my yoke upon you. See, when we lament, we are brought in side by side with Jesus. He pulls us deeper into him, his love and his grace. I want to invite you to stand. How do we live this out? Well, if you can look at the notes later. There's a whole bunch of lament psalms in there. I want to encourage you. Some of you just need permission to cry. You think, oh, this has just been so stupid. This thing should not affect me so much. And you've stuffed tears for so long. You just need to go have a good cry in your truck, your bedroom. Go for a walk and cry. That's what I do a lot of times. I just go walk and I just cry. People say, I never see you cry. I'm like, yeah, because I do it in a special place. I cry as much as my husband. I do. I just have different ways of expressing it. It's really ugly. It's really ugly. Just. But you know, you see, you cry. Take some of the laments that are there. There's loads of laments. I think I gave you, at least a dozen or so. There's way more. Write your own lament. Address. Complaint. Trusting prayer. Confidence and praise. I want everyone to close your eyes. I'm going to pray two prayers. I want to pray a prayer giving just maybe some language for people that are just like, man, this whole Jesus thing, I don't know about it, but I feel like, yeah, today's the day I need to say yes to following him. I really want hope. You will not have hope in life apart from Jesus Christ, I can tell you that. You might have you might have good, sometimes good feelings, but you cannot have hope apart from Jesus. And I want to just pray, if you want to say, just really dedicate your life to Jesus, to following him, and to being made new, sins forgiven, and given a new hope in life. Let's pray this prayer together, church. Just say, Jesus, thank you for coming to the earth to live and die and rise again so that I could. I say yes to following you. I say yes to surrendering my life to live on mission with you. Thank you, Jesus, for a brand new start. Amen. Yes, let's give God praise. God, thank you. God, we celebrate you. Lord, you know which hearts in this room or even online. Maybe you prayed that prayer of what today is a brand new start day, or maybe the start of something, just the crack just broke a little bit more. But I want to pray another prayer. Just let's close our eyes again. I want to ask, how many of you feel like there's been some hard stuff and you're just like, I just feel like lamenting. I haven't known what to do. Just hands raised. I'm going to pray all over. Let's just close our eyes and just a moment to just wait and linger. God, your grace. God, you have cried the tears before we did. You cried the tears with us. You bear the frustration. You bear the disappointment, you bear the anger, you bear the deep-seated, this is not right. This was not fair. God, you bore the loneliness. God, you bore the outright horrible suffering. And God, I just pray, especially those that are suffering, Father, from actions that had nothing, they had no choice in the matter. And God, I just ask for your grace. Church, can we pray this prayer together? Just say, Jesus, would you teach me how to lament? I don't want toxic stuff in my heart, in my mind, in my body. Jesus, would you free me? Would you bring release? Show me the areas, the stuff I need to lament, so that I can be free and I can bring hope to those in my world. Let's just wait just a moment. just let God do a really, let it, and he is just so close to you now in this moment. Yes. Oh, Jesus. Break every chain, every yoke. God, let burdens be lifted today. Help us to see our spheres through your eyes and to love with your heart. Amen.
We hope today's message encouraged you. If you want to take your next step in saying yes to Jesus, you can always contact us at cty.lc/next step or fill out the Next Step section on the City Life app. It's an honor to play a small part in what God is doing in your life. We look forward to connecting with you soon.